Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We are located on the corner of Park Boulevard and West County Road in Odessa, Texas, 1700 Park Boulevard. Please come by and let me know if I can help you in any way. If you're looking for a church home in your part of the world, or you're looking with someone to study the Bible with, let me know and I'll be glad to help you find someone in your area, or I'll help you any way that I can. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified. And so Paul says we've got to speak the same things. We've got to think the same things. We've got to stand in this line. We've got to walk the same way. We've got to walk the line. We must walk the straight and narrow line. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. That wide road that everybody wants to go on leads to destruction. Yes, many go thereby, and many want you to walk with them. It makes them feel better that they're doing wrong. Don't raise your hand. But how many of your friends in your life were doing wrong and they wanted you to go with them because it made them feel more comfortable as they were doing wrong? There's a lot of kids that never intended to do something wrong that went and did something wrong because of the company they kept. That's why Paul would write passages like 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You see, we have to be in the right line. We need to stand in the right place. To be united spiritually, we have to have common authority. And so Paul is appealing for us to follow that rule that God has given, to attain the things He wants us to attain. Not the worldly things that Paul said were garbage, but the things that God wants us to attain. We got to be walking the right walk. And so He wants us to grow and to become mature. He doesn't want to discourage us. He's not trying to bring us down. He's trying to encourage us to greater faithfulness. You know, if you're conformed, but you're conformed to the right things, it's okay. When people say, well, I'm never going to be conformed. I'm going to be different as they get the same clothes that their other friend who's different got. Different. I'm going to wear my earring a certain way or get a tattoo a certain way, or I'm going to wear my shirt a certain way because, you know, I'm different like everybody else over here that's my friend that are doing it the same way. That's not different. You know what's different today? To do what's right. That's different. You know, the law tells us not to follow a multitude to do evil. Even if we stand alone, we need to do what's right. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. The news isn't supposed to give you your guidance and direction in life. The Bible is. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Let's get in the right row. Let's get in the right line. Let's grow by the Word of God. Let's mature in faithfulness. We need to become a Christian, but we have to do it the same way everyone else does. We need to follow the one gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. It's what's been preached. It's what we heard. It's where we stand. It's by what we're saved. If we remain faithful, he actually lists six things. I just mentioned four of the six. But it's from the gospel that Jesus is who he said he was. He came and did what he said he came to do. He was killed. He was buried. He rose the third day. And if you believe that and obey the gospel, you can have life. That's what Paul is teaching there in 1 Corinthians 15. And in fact, he goes on to say, that same power that raised Christ will raise us also. We can have eternal life. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Death and sin have been defeated. There's victory in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's verse 58, last verse of that passage. See, we got to keep on keeping on. We got to walk in the right line. We need to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Folks, we got to follow the one gospel. See, there's only one Lord. There's only one faith. I don't care what the world says. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. Ephesians 4 and verse 5. There's actually seven ones there. I mentioned three. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. We obey the same teaching, the gospel. And we're supposed to live by the same message, the gospel. We're supposed to preach the same message, the gospel. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as it is, the oracles of God. Paul would say in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's only one way. Quit following the world, folks. We got to follow Christ. We got to get in line. We got to get in line. Now, I was talking the other day in class about that Proverbs 31 virtuous woman, and I told you I used to use the illustration with kids a lot. If I put this stack of $100 bills here and this table here in front of us had $100,000 or $1 million, and I said, first one here gets it, how many young men would jump up and take off running? Some of y'all, not young, you might take up running too, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we understand that principle. The passage there is saying it's much better to chase after a virtuous woman who will be your companion in life. That's the picture. But what if I said, I'm going to give out $100,000 to everybody who gets in this line, and I put it in the paper. I put it on the front page of the Odessa American. And by the way, I'd have to put it on Facebook and other things too, like Instagram, because young people don't read the paper, all right? So it would, and by the way, most people don't read the paper. That's why they're getting smaller. That's why their pages are smaller. That's too expensive. And it also says, here's the story. This guy did this, but if you want to see the rest of the story, go to the internet, right? They're saving money. They're making it short and sweet. It's not a revenue bringer like it used to be. So after I advertised, I'm giving out $100,000 to everybody that come gets in line. How many people in Odessa would show up? All 100,000, probably. Some of them would be calling their friends and neighbors from surrounding areas. And if I said, you got to get in this line right here if you want it, there are going to be some people that come to the front of the line. Especially out here. You know how I know? Because every day I drive in road construction somewhere, and there's somebody that's going to drive all the way down the side and try to cut in front of everybody else who is in line. I know they're going to try. But the prize only comes to those in line. How many in Odessa are going to get in line? Everybody. Are they going to care that they're in line? Nope. You know what they're going to do in just a few weeks? They're going to line up in the middle of the night to get in and buy a TV at 2 in the morning to save $20 over the one they could have bought today. They're going to stay out all night long on Black Friday. And they're going to get in line, and they don't care. But you say, listen, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be in this line. Oh, that's not, God's going to accept me for who I am. He's going to love me where I'm at. He'll accept my worship. Really? Have you read this story? You know, his story, history. Have you read history, his story about Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10? They brought profane fire. What'd God do? Struck them down. They were dead. What about Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira, did they give? Yep, they gave. Did they give a lot? They did give a lot. They lied about it. What'd God do? Killed them dead. I mentioned the other day, I'm glad God doesn't punish us that way today. But the consequences are still the same. Well, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. If you don't get in the line, you don't get the prize. We understand that when it comes to money. We understand that when it comes to possessions. Don't you understand it when it comes to being a Christian? You can't go any other way. You have to go the straight and narrow. But Jesus understood, few there be who find it. That's verse 14, Matthew 7. There's only one way. That's why Jude would say, let us contend earnestly for the faith that has been once for all delivered. Guys, we have to fight for it. We must know some things. There are some values that have to be a part of our life. There are some beliefs that must shape who we are. And all of these are found in the Word of God. To have unity, to have a commitment to God, to follow His plan, we have to go to the same source. And that is the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren." Why did he have to plead with them? Because the people in the first century aren't much different than the people in this century. People want to do things their own way. From the time we were able to say our first word, we have started, even before that, I recognize that, but we've verbally started expressing it. And mom would say, "I'm going to do this, let me do this." And you would say, "I do it." And there's some adults whose grammar hadn't changed. They still say, "I do it. Mine." No, it's God's. And we have to follow His plan. We need to learn to submit. We need to learn to get in line. We need to follow His plan. The only way is to think the way He asks us to. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," that's His authority, "that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you." Get in the same line. Not some division, a little division. A preacher of the gospel who's supposed to be our brother wrote yesterday in one of his blogs and put it on the internet that we can all have differences and it'll all be okay. Listen, if we're talking about service times, the color of the carpet, what time we're going to eat lunch, okay, fine, we can all have a different opinion. But when it comes to what it requires of someone to be saved, what it means to be a worshiper of God, what it means to worship God on the first day of the week, there is no room for our opinion. God has told us what He wanted. We have to get in line. We speak the same things. We have no divisions. And He said, let all of you be perfectly joined together. We're in the same line, with the same mind and the same judgment. Where does all that unity come from? It comes from the Word of God. Long, long time ago, I worked for a company. On the front of the operations manual, there's a quotation that I learned that first day I went to work for them, and I have not forgotten it in decades. And it says this. And the reason it does that is because everybody in the restaurant industry has a little bit of an ego. I'm just going to tell you, all right? Those chefs you see on TV, that cockiness, that's not just for TV. That's pretty real. Most kitchens, that's the way people act. They really do, all right? They're having to improve themselves because there's things like HR today that says you can't talk to people that way. And I'm thankful for that. I am. But here's what they would say right there on the front of that book. As you're learning what it means to work for that company, it's not your way. It's not my way. It's by the book. It's not your authority. It's not my authority. It's God's authority. It's by the book. We have to follow God's plan. Today, if you said we're walking by the book, somebody's going to think that's negative, but we ought to think it's positive. Somebody who's a walking Bible, who knows the truth, who's living according to the Scriptures, he's a faithful child of God. Those are marks of honor. They're badges of honor. That man lived by the book. That's what they ought to say about us. I have a couple of sermons where I talk about epitaphs, you know. I mention one all the time, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Genesis 6:22. "Thus Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did." That's the kind of thing that ought to be on everybody's gravestone, right? But you want something that ought to be on your tombstone? If you have one, you don't have to have one, but if you have one, you know it ought to say, "He or she was a man or woman of the book." He got in line. She followed the row. She conformed to God, not the world. See, we got to be a people who walk the same way. We've got to walk the same path. Paul says there's two things here. We have to walk the Christian faith, and we have to keep on walking the Christian faith. We have to walk that Christian faith, and we need to help others to walk the Christian faith. We've got to walk the right path. We've got to keep on walking. And what that means is when we see others who are struggling in their walk, just like if you were walking today, you go to the store, you go to the park, and somebody is struggling, they're about to fall down, you reach over and you give them your arm and you help them up. You go pick up that person off the ground and help them get where they're going. Any honest, decent person who has the physical ability to do so is going to try to do so. We're going to try to help them get where they're going. Why don't we have the same desire spiritually? We ought to. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, and I'm going to mention this a couple times this evening, Lord willing. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, that's sin, and he's overtaken in it, not just he made some little mistake or told some little white lie, he's overtaken in a trespass. You who are spiritual, that's those of us who are speaking the same things and walking the same line. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Yes, I'm going to preach with boldness. I'm trying to reach everyone here that's listening. You're sitting down with somebody one-on-one about their sin specifically. You better be kind and compassionate. You better be loving. You better show them what the gospel says. That doesn't mean compromise. But if you love them, you tell them the truth. You don't pacify them. You tell them the truth, whether they like it or not. But you do it in a spirit of gentleness. Notice why. Considering yourselves, lest ye also be tempted. There are many people who taught against something who are now caught up in that very thing. We have to make sure we watch ourselves. Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 16, that he was to be one who meditated on the Word of God, to give himself entirely to it. His progress would be evident to all. And then he said, you stick to that Word of God. You meditate on it. You put it in your heart. You live by it. And as a result, you're going to save yourself and those who hear you also. Folks, we have to be people who understand our need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's verse 2. You know, none of us know the entirety of the truth, and I'm not trying to imply that we do. But you know it no more than somebody else. I was taking a class recently, and one of the men is teaching these other people. We're taking the class for the first time, and he's teaching you how to teach others this material that you're just learning. And somebody asked the question, well, I don't feel like I can teach anybody because, man, I'm not an expert at this subject matter. He said, you know more than they do. To them, you're the expert. You know the answers. Every single lesson that we preach here in this building, the last thing we do is offer the Lord's invitation. You know what it is. People say, I don't know what to say. Yes, you do. You know what to say. You know what the Bible says. Now get in line and say it. Let's all speak the same things. Let's walk the same walk. Let's not be afraid. I know the world wants you to get out of line, but let's trust God. Let's follow His plan. You see, that's maturity. And the fact that we struggle with these things show that we're not mature yet. We haven't attained that perfection, that maturity. We've got to grow. Let's walk the straight and narrow. There's no room for us to look down on other people. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you have something to give them. A moment ago, I said, if you see somebody who's fallen and you can help them up, you're going to try. You didn't have to go say, I'm an expert at physical therapy. I know the human anatomy. I am a medical doctor. I know how to help somebody off the ground. You never thought that for a moment. But when it comes to spiritual things, for some reason, we use that line of thinking. Well, I don't know enough. Yes, you do. You know more than they do. Tell them what really matters. Give an answer for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Tell them about Jesus who came to this earth to save their soul. Tell them about sin that separates us. And tell them that He has a plan for us. that if we'll believe that Jesus is the Christ, that if we'll repent of our sins, which means turn, to change, to live differently, to go get in line, that if we'll confess it with our mouth. See, we can't just believe it in the heart. We have to say it outright. We have to tell people that we really believe. You can't hide it under a bushel. You have to let your light shine. You make the confession in the presence of men that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you're immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. It's where you come into the blood of Christ, the Lamb's blood which takes away sins. Not once a year like the atonement offering under the Hebrew law, but once for all. And now Christ is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But someday He's coming back, and He's going to take us to be with the Father forever. But if we haven't got in line, we're going to be lost. And you can't be in some other line and get the reward that the Father has offered. You can tell anybody that. You know you can. You see, you are the expert in their eyes. Besides that, you're not trying to tell them that you have all the answers. You're trying to tell them where the answers are found. It's in the roadmap. It's God's word that works in us that will give us eternal life. You see, we need to believe and obey the gospel. We need to work hard at bringing souls to Christ. We need to reach out and bring those who are lost back home. We need to do what we can to let the light of Christ shine in us. We need to be reflections of that light. People ought to be able to come to us and say, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And we show them how we're walking. We show them where we're standing. We show them there's a way that leads to eternal life. And it's through Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, listen, we're not there yet, but we're on the journey. We're walking the right walk. We're on the right track. We're in line. Now let's keep growing in maturity, and let's help other people to know Christ. I know these are two verses that are short and sweet, but if you'll sit back and think about this afternoon, these are some of the deepest verses in this book. Because he's challenging those of us in this room who've been Christians a long time. Are you in line? Are you working? Are you walking? If not, are we ready for the judgment? This is some of the deepest stuff that's in this book for the mature Christian or the one who's supposed to be. I hope you'll think about these things today. The fact of the matter is, it ought to drive us to an understanding that I have more to do. And that's what he said in that first verse we read. We're not there yet. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. You know how you eat an elephant? I've never tried. I can't say with my own experience, but you know what they say, right? One bite at a time. You want to build a big building? It starts with the first shovel of dirt. You want to build a Christian life? It starts with the first step. If you're not a child of God, you need to make that first step today. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You need to put him on in baptism. And if we can help you do that today, well, that's what we want to do. If you're already a Christian, but maybe you're standing in the wrong line, or you keep wandering in and out of line, or maybe you've left that line completely. If that's the case, you need to get back to following Jesus. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ means we walk by the same rule, the same line. We follow that path, the one that Jesus blazed that goes straight to the Father. So if you're not in that line, let's get back in that line. You can go to God and ask for forgiveness. He's faithful and just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if it's something that's done in a public way, or if you need the prayers of the church to help you in this battle, then that's what we want to do for you today. We want to pray with you and for you. Whatever we can do to help you in this path that leads to eternal life, that's what we want to do. Won't you make that decision today? Won't you come in line with God's will?
I'm thankful that you were here with us tonight, and I invite you to come back next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock as we continue this study of the book of Philippians. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We invite you to always give us a call or send me an email if you have questions. We want to help you any way that we can. This is Denny Wilson. My email address is ROYDW3@AOL.com. Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.